Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 10 in your Scofield Bible, page 783. Beginning with the 12th verse, we will read through verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 19. The text verse is that last verse. We'll read the 19th verse. Of course, we'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress, for thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said, Truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. And let's pray. And Father, we thank you that for a while, the world thinks about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. But we thank you that in this church, that the matter of the resurrection is a constant thing. It's ever before us. And we thank you for, indeed, a risen Savior. But we thank you, too, for meeting with us faithfully. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, we come here expecting a blessing, expecting help from thee, and we never have to go away disappointed. We pray for your blessing now upon this service, upon our preacher, and give us ears to hear and hearts to believe in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are some verses in the Bible that if all you did was come to church and hear them read and go home, you would, well, in fact, any verse in the Bible, but there's some especially. If all you did was read the verse, have it read to you, and you go home, it'd be worth your coming to church. One of them is my text today. Listen to it. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. Those words were spoken by the man who suffered the most in the Old Testament. The man who shed more tears than anybody else in the Old Testament. The one whose heart was broken more. And the one who received almost no obvious, visible rewards for his service for God. Let me read it again. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that from the heart and the mind and the lips of Thy man, a truth shall lodge forever in the hearts and mind and ears of Thy people. May this great man and his burden, his grief, his pain, and the way he endured it, be an example to us and strength to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say that I have a serious doubt. By the way, please forgive me. I'm not much Easter man. I'm just not. And please forgive me if I destroy your Easter by not preaching an Easter sermon. I am not going to destroy anything else. I'm just going to ruin your day. That's all. But you'll get over it by the time you get to the table. But I don't preach according to what day it is. I preach according to what I think my people need. And that I'm going to give you this morning something that I believe God's people need to hear. If you are 25 years of age or older, and more so with the increasing of years, you have a burden today. You have a heartache. You have a problem. I often stand up here on this platform and just go down the men on the platform and just think of what I know of the burden that they bear and the heartaches that they have. If ever a man faced disappointments and tragedy, it was Jeremiah. If ever a man had a broken heart, it was Jeremiah. He could have died a bitter and broken man had he so chosen, but he did not choose to do so. Now you have burdens also, and you have heartaches and problems and griefs. Now you can die if you want to, a broken and bitter person, but bless God, you don't have to. Look at him for a minute. Jeremiah. His family turned against him. Do your fingernails tomorrow. Listen to me while I'm preaching right now. His family turned against him. His nation, for whom he had given his life, turned against him. God did not seem to answer his prayers. His preaching bore little, if any, visible fruit. His nation was taken captive to Babylon, and he was kidnapped and taken off to Egypt. Probably there was stoned to death for preaching the Word of God in Egypt. Now here was a faithful preacher, so faithful that God chose him to be the secretary who dictated the Word of God, a portion of the Word of God to us. And through his pen, God revealed to us his great book of Jeremiah. But he saw no 5,000 people fed. He saw no 3,000 people saved. He saw no dead raised from the grave. He saw no risen Savior with the nail prints yet in his hands. He saw no great revival like Jonah did. He preached to a nation that had already been condemned to penalty, punishment, and confinement in Babylon. God had already said, listen to me, God had already said, the nation is going to be punished. God's judgment had been proclaimed. Jeremiah saw no big days like we have here. He had no amens while he preached. He had no little boys and girls to slide pennies and nickels and dimes and notes under his door and say, I love you, Brother Jeremiah. He had no faithful deacons to stand beside him when the battles came. He was alone, the weeping prophet. Family forsook him. Nation forsook him. If anybody ever in the Bible had a broken heart, it was Jeremiah. Tears flowed from his eyes like rivers of waters. But I want you to notice today how he responded to his burden. Now listen, your burden will not destroy you, but how you respond to that burden can destroy you. Your heartache will not destroy you. The truth is, nobody can destroy you but the person you shave or the person you look at in the mirror. Nobody can destroy you. And so, Jeremiah, I want you to notice what he did not do. In the first place, he did not blame God. He did not blame God. He had his family forsake him. He had his nation forsake him. He preached for many years without any seemingly visible response. No encouragement. No church to follow him and love him. No salary. And all those years, his heart was broken. His nation turned against him. Nation was destroyed. He was taken captive to Egypt. Stoned for preaching the gospel there. But not one time did Jeremiah ever say, God, you're not being fair to me. Now, one time, he was human enough to one time, he decided to quit. He said, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to get me a little cabin in the woods somewhere where the wayfaring people come by. Or I'm going to go to a little inn somewhere where the men come to paint and look at the mountains and paint the mountains. I'm going to get there, and I'm just going to rest the rest of my life. And he decided to quit, and he did for a while. But then he said, whatever God called preacher said, he said, the word of God burned in my bones like a fire, and I could not contain myself. I had to preach. But Jeremiah, nobody's getting saved. I've got to preach. But Jeremiah, nobody believes you. I've got to preach. But Jeremiah, God, the nation's already been sentenced to die and go to Babylon. But I've got to preach. Why? Because the Word of God burns in my soul like a fire. He didn't blame God. Now you listen to me. Don't look around. Look right this way. Listen to me. Don't you blame God for your burden. You decide once and for all what you think about God. As I've said so often, don't put Him on trial every time something happens. God is not good only when the sun is shining. God is good while it's raining. God is not good only when you're on the mountaintop. God is good when you're in the valley. I'm saying God is good. Let that be the first premise. God is good. Jeremiah didn't say, I'm serving you and I'm faithful and look what's happened to me. And God, you're not treating me right. God always treats you right. Now, He may not treat you like you think is right, but in the end, you'll find out God always treats you right. God cannot fail. Decide that. Decide it. Decide that God is good. And then when you have a burden, don't change your mind. When something comes in your life that breaks your heart, don't change your mind. Jeremiah did not blame God. Number two, he did not blame others. He didn't blame his mother. He didn't blame his father. He didn't blame his son. He didn't blame his daughter. He didn't blame anybody else. He cast no blame on anybody else. You know one of the most wicked things about this generation? And psychiatrists have done it. And if all the psychiatrists, somebody said that if all the psychiatrists and psychologists in America, Christian and heathen, were placed end to end around the equator, it'd certainly be a good thing for America. Go back in your history and find out that your mama didn't give you enough orange juice when you were a boy, and that's why you robbed that bank. No, you robbed that bank because you're a dirty, rotten sinner. That's why you robbed that bank. It's not your daddy's fault. It was while some weak-kneed apple cider student at Howells Anderson College would come to my office and say, well, Brother Howells, I don't have any character because my mama didn't teach me any character. You don't have any character because you don't have any character, and you are responsible for your own character. My Bible said every man will give an account of himself to God. I said every man will give an account of himself to God. Reason that you live in sin is not your daddy's fault or your mama's fault or your brother's fault or your sister's fault or your son's fault or your daughter's fault or your country's fault or your teacher's fault or your church's fault. It's your fault. You will give an account of yourself to God Almighty. Quit blaming somebody else. Look in the mirror and see the person who's to blame. Jeremiah. No family. Nation turned against him. Family turned against him. Tears rolling down his cheeks like rivers of water. Broken heart. No deacons, no church, no family, nobody to care. Kidnapped, taken to Egypt, died. Jeremiah did not blame God, and Jeremiah did not blame anybody else. Number three, he did not blame himself. Jeremiah didn't say, my soul, what have I done to cause my burden? Now I want to say a word. The first thing you ought to do when heartache comes is check and see if you've got any sin in your life. And if you have, confess it. But don't go around thinking that God's punishing you every time you get the hiccups. Don't blame yourself. That's one thing wrong with this charismatic mess on television these days.
Sickness, they say, sickness is of the devil. Now you listen to me carefully. God Himself uses the ministry of suffering in the lives of people in order to show other people how to stay strong when they suffer. You're not suffering because you're sinful. Necessarily, it may be, but not necessarily. Jeremiah knew he loved God. He knew he was trying to serve God. He knew he was sincere. He knew he was faithful. He knew it. Jeremiah, with his heart broken and tears running down his cheeks like rivers of waters, his family turned and his nation turned, and the judgment of God coming, and preached Sunday after Sunday and day after day, and no visible results. No 3,000 people saved. No 5,000 people saved. No hundreds of folks baptized. No good reports to turn in. No people to rally around him. No visible results. Jeremiah, weeping, heartbroken. He did not blame his God. He did not blame others. He did not blame himself. But now notice what he did do. He realized that each of us has his hurt. And he expected it. Now the best thing for you to do is realize that into every life some rain must fall. If you haven't had your heartache yet, it's on the way. If your heart has not been broken into yet, it will be. And Jeremiah stopped and realized that each of us has his hurt. Now, you realize that. Folks, it's going to come. And it's going to increase the older you get. I mean, as your children grow up, and as life becomes more complex, and as your body begins to decay and enlarge. I'm testifying. I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying, listen, you and your wife get married, they're just the two of you. And you're a couple of honeymooners. Everything seems okay. The sun is bright. Joy, happiness, excitement. But the bills are going to come. And illness is going to come. And children are going to come. And as each child grows older, he has his own complex life. And then he has his children, and they grow older and have their complex life. I'm saying, as you get older, listen, the burdens are going to come. Now, what you better do is brace yourself for them, and when they come, you won't fall apart. And by the way, you don't have to fall apart. Well, now I'm just at the end of my rope. No, but then hang on to God's rope. Jeremiah realized each of us has his hurt. Number two, he realized, now get this, he realized that his hurt was appointed. He said, my hurt. Woe is me for my hurt. He said, my wound is grievous. He realized that his hurt was appointed. Now, folks, listen. You need some burdens. You're not going to, listen, you won't amount to anything without the shadows in life. You need to, and you're going to have them. Now, listen. I wish I could reach out to every single one of you and shake your hand this morning and say, tell me your heartache and tell me your burden and tell me your sorrow. Then I'd like to say to you that God appoints a sorrow. It was not because Job was a sinner that he had his heart broken. God allowed Job to do it because God wanted somebody to show the whole world forever that you can bear up when you have the burdens and the heartaches and the problems. He realized his was appointed. Third thing he did, he admitted his heart was broken. Didn't cover it up. He said, this is my grief. He said, I have a hurt, I have a grief, and I admit it. Now here's the main part of the message. He decided to bear it. Listen to it. Young girls in the front, listen to me. Hear me now. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is the grief, and I must bear it. Hey, look your burden square in the eye this morning and say, I can take you. That's what he did. He looked square in the eye the fact that his family forsook him and said, I'll bear it. I'll handle you. He looked square in the eye that his nation forsook him and said, I'll make it. I'll bear this burden. It's my burden. God's appointed this to me, and I'll bear it, and I'll not complain, and I'll not whine, and I'll not blame him, and I'll not blame them, and I'll not blame me, but I'll be a big little guy, and I'll take my burden. I'll bear it. You say that this morning. Say it. Look at it. Look at it. That heartache, that thing that causes you to lie awake at night, the thing that you wake up in the morning and you wish it weren't true, you wish it were a dream, but it's still there, and it'll never leave, and it'll always be there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's there. Look it square in the eye and say, "Hey, old burden, I'll take it. You won't get me down. You won't win the victory. You won't be heavier than I can bear. I'll bear you, and I'll take you." Jeremiah said, "My family's turned against me." Looked it square in the eye and said, "I'll bear it." He said, "My nation's turned against me." Looked it square in the eye and said, "I'll bear it." He said, "God does not seem to answer my prayers even." But looked it square in the eye and said, "I'll bear it." He said, "My preaching seemingly bears no fruit." Looked it square in the eye and said, "I'll bear it." He looked at the fact that his preaching did not change the nation. Looked it square in the eye and said, "I'll bear it." He saw his nation taken captive to Babylon. He saw the temple destroyed. He saw the houses of the city destroyed. He saw 2/3 of the people taken to Babylon. And he said, "This is my grief. This is my burden. This is my pain. This is my hurt. And I am going to bear it." He saw himself bound as a slave, taken to Egypt, and looked it square in the eye and said, "This is my burden, and I'll bear it. This is my grief, and I'll bear it." And he preached the gospel in Egypt and was taken and killed. But Jeremiah never one time blamed his God or blamed others or blamed himself. He said, "This is my grief, and this is my hurt, and I must bear it." "Brother House, what can I do about my burden?" Bear it. Bear it. "Brother House, it's too heavy for me to bear." "Oh, no, it's not. God wouldn't have placed it there. It was too heavy if it's too heavy for you to bear. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able." Listen to me. Look at me, broken heart this morning. Look at me, mother or father, your heart crushed today. Look at me, dear saint of God, with your health broken today. Look at me, dear husband, unable to provide this morning for your family. Look at me and say, "Dear God, I'm going to bear it. I'm going to take it." He decided to bear it. "I'll take it. I'll make it." Look it square in the eye and say to your grief, "You'll not conquer me." Look your burden square in the eye and say to your burden, "You'll not conquer me." Look your heartache square in the eye and say, "You'll not conquer me." Let me tell you something. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. The devil wants you to break beneath the load. You don't have to break beneath the load. Look at square in the eye. You know, I'm tired of runners. I'm tired of quitters. I'm tired of Benedict Arnolds. Go forward. Look your burden in the eye. Look your heartache in the eye. Look your trial in the eye. Look your pain in the eye. Look your grief in the eye. And say, "By cracky, I'll make it." What did Jeremiah do? He did not blame God. He did not blame others. He did not blame himself. What did he do? He realized that each of us has his hurt. Now what you ought to do is forget your hurt and think about your neighbor's hurt. Listen, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. But you know why he wept? He didn't weep because his family forsook him. He didn't weep because he had no visible results. He wept because the people he loved had burdens. Now please don't misunderstand me, but listen to me carefully. I have, as you have, my share of grief. I have, as you have, my share of burdens. But I don't spend my life whining because of my burdens. I spend my life bearing your burdens. And that's one reason I'm happy. People say to me, Brother Hiles, how can you bear up? How can you bear? I'm not trying to bear up. I look at my burden and say, hey, I'll get back to you after a while. You're not going to conquer me. I've got a church full of people that need me and need my help and need me to help carry their burden. You're not. I'll get back to you after a while. You hang around. I'll beat the stuffings out of you just in a few minutes. Jeremiah bore the burdens of others. I'll guarantee you, the burdens, most of the burden-bearing people who bear the burdens of others have more burdens than the others whose burdens they bear. Mrs. Hiles, remember this. There's a lady in our church where we grew up named Mother Pollard. Mother Pollard was the suffering saint of the church. Mother Pollard was an invalid. She was in constant pain. But there was not a day that people from our church didn't go see Mother Pollard. Because Mother Pollard reminded them there was a God in heaven who sustained her and He could sustain them. And nobody went to see Mother Pollard to cheer up. They went to see Mother Pollard to get cheered up. Because Mother Pollard would let them know there was a God in heaven who was able to comfort when you're big burden, able to strengthen when you're weak, able to lift when you're fallen. And she reminded them, spend your life thinking about somebody else's burdens. He bore the burdens of others. What did Jeremiah do? Jeremiah realized that each of us has his own hurt. Jeremiah realized that his was appointed. Jeremiah admitted that his heart was broken. Jeremiah decided to bear it. This is a grief and I must bear it. Not one time do you hear Jeremiah saying, God, it's your fault. Not one time did Jeremiah look at Isaiah and say, it's your fault. Not one time did Jeremiah say to his family that turned against me, it's your fault. Jeremiah said, this is my grief. This is my burden. This is my hurt. It's mine. Appointed to me. And I must bear it. You know, I think sometimes we trust God to do stuff we do ourselves. I do not think that God likes to help people that quit and say, oh God, here I am. Brother, I think you ought to hang on and fight as much as you can and use every ounce of energy and power you've got. And God looks down and says, there's a fellow who's using all his power. I'll give him more power. God doesn't give power to those that quit. He gives power to those that keep on trudging. And he kept on going, walking through his tears, swimming upstream against the river of his own tears. He kept on going. When those who bore his own name turned against him, he kept on going. When those of his own race for whom he gave his life turned on him, he kept on going. When that beloved temple so sacred and precious to him was leveled, he kept on going. When his house was destroyed, he kept on going. When his family was divided and some left him and had to go to Babylon for 70 long years, he kept on going. And I like this. Bless God, even when he got to Egypt, he started preaching. Yeah. Well, Jeremiah, you're a slave here. I don't care. God's called me to preach. He kept on preaching, even in Egypt. A slave. Now, I have been allotted my share of burdens in life. You have been allotted your share of burdens in life. I don't know what you're going to do about yours. You may point to God and say, you haven't treated me right. But you become a miserable, bitter old lady or old man someday. Or you can point to others and say, it's your fault, it's his fault, and go through life blaming somebody else because of your sin when God Almighty said you're going to answer for your sins. It's not your daddy's fault, not your mama's fault, not your brother's fault, not your sister's fault, not your church's fault, it's not your school's fault. And once in a while, some parents will have a child disappoint them. They'll blame Mr. Weber. It's not his fault. Or they'll blame me. It's not my fault. They'll blame Brother Ed Lapina, the youth director. It's not his fault. And by the way, then they'll say, okay, I blame myself. It's not your fault either. Maybe you could have helped, but the final analysis and the ultimate end is every man has got to face God for his own sins. Why don't you stand up and be a man? Why don't you stand up and be a woman? Why don't you stand up and be a Christian? Why don't you stop and realize the reason you're living in sin is because of you? It's nobody else's fault. Yours. I don't know what you're going to do. You have your allotment of burdens, heartaches, sorrows, pain, and hurt. And if you don't now, you will. If you live to be 63 years of age, as I have, you'll weep yourself to sleep many a night, as I have. If you live to be 63 years of age, as I have, you will toss and tumble through the night many a night, as I have. I had a drunkard father. My daddy only came home occasionally. My daddy never bought me a stitch of clothes, except one little ribbed T-shirt he paid a dollar for. That's the only stitch of clothing my daddy ever bought me. When I was 5 years old, he put me on a bar in a tavern and tried to serve me beer and get me to drink beer. My daddy went to church with me one time in my entire life. One Sunday night, he went to church with me. I heard my daddy pray one prayer in his life, and that's because we're eating at my uncle's house. Uncle Roy said, Athy, you say grace. And my daddy said these words. He said, Heavenly Father, shine on us and make us thankful for these and all the blessings. Amen. He'd sort of heard somebody say that, I think. But if I don't become the preacher I ought to be, it's not my daddy's fault. And nobody's ever heard me one time. You've heard me tell of my daddy's weaknesses. You've heard me tell how my daddy beat my mama. You've heard me tell about my daddy when he told me, when he cursed me, when I was called to preach. But you've never heard me point a finger at my daddy and say, my daddy, it's your fault because of anything. No, sir! It is my life! And I've got to answer to my God. So I don't know what you're going to do with your burden. I know you have it. I hear them. I listen to them. I carry them with you. I hurt with you. But let me recommend you think about what Jeremiah did. But I know what I'm going to do with mine. I've been allotted my share of burdens in life, like anybody 63 years of age has. I don't think God's given me excess of burdens or the short end of the stick. I just think I'm a human being traveling on the journey through life, and a part of that journey is valleys as well as mountains, and clouds as well as sunshine, and rain as well as clear days and beautiful days, and losses as well as victories. So what am I going to do? When the big day comes, and we have 5,000 people saved, I'm going to rejoice. Thank God. When the mountains come, I'm going to thank God for them. When the valleys come, I'm going to say, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this was a grief. There is a grief. And I must bear it. I'm going to bear mine. I'm going to look him right square in the eye and say, you're not going to lick me. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you go home today, write down your burden or burdens on a piece of paper, paste them on the wall in front of you, look at each one of them and say, I'm going to bear you, and I'm going to bear you, and I'm going to bear you, and I'm going to bear you.
and I'm going to bury you. And bury it. Bury it. Face it like a man. And bury it. That's what Jeremiah did. I could have spoken this morning and reminded you the grave is empty. But you knew that already. Even the heathen world told you that. I could have taken some time today and reminded you that Jesus lives. But you know He lives. But a lot of you don't know what I've told you this morning. But you know it now. Throw back your shoulders. Stick out your chest. Roll up your sleeves and look at life and say, I'll take whatever you got to offer. This is my burden. This is my grief. And with Jeremiah, I'm going to bear it. And I'm going to smile while I bear it. I may have some tears here while I smile here. But I'm going to smile. And that isn't all. I'm going to go to my neighbor next door who's got a grief and a burden, and I'm going to say, let me help you bear yours. And when you get back to yours, it won't be near as big as you thought it was. Ladies and gentlemen, quit your whining. Quit your blaming. Why did you do this? You don't got... Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made us thus? Don't you look to him and say, you did it. Don't you look to people and don't you look to yourself and say, this is my fault. You look at your burden in life and say, this is life and I've got to live it. And whatever it has to offer, by cracky, I'm going to take it and I'm going to face it. And this is my grief and this is my hurt, but I will bear it. Our Heavenly Father, enough truth's been said in the last 35 minutes behind this pulpit. Transform our lives.